We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.
Hey, you know that feeling when your mind won't shut off at night? Or the stress just keeps piling and piling up? What if I told you there might be a solution that you should check out? How about the folks at CBDFX? They recently sent me some samples. I know all about the CBD phenomenon these days, and I'm curious but a little bit skeptical. Well, I've been trying them out to find out what works best for me. There's a whole range of products, gummies, capsules, topicals, you name it. I've been testing their CBD and CBD night capsules. They're built to get you asleep fast and keep you asleep all night. CBN is what they call the ultimate relaxation cannabinoid and is packed with other natural sleep support. They also make these original mixed berries CBD gummies that have won 4 Healthline Best CBD Gummy Awards, and they're gentle. And they have calming effects. They're great for overall wellness, and they actually taste good. Natural berry flavor. CBDFX has been doing this since 2014, so they've got it down. Everything is USA made with organic hemp, no GMOs, no pesticides, no harmful chemicals, all verified by third-party lab testing. Whether you want calm, focus, better sleep, or just an overall wellness boost, CBDFX has something for you. Right now, my listeners get 40% off your first order with code ZABE at CBDFX. That's code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo at CBDFX.com. 40% off using my promo code. Feel the difference with CBDFX. Free is a zero tobacco nicotine pouch designed for people who want a simple, hassle-free way to enjoy nicotine without smoke, vapor, or the smell. Everything about Free is engineered for ease, fast flavor, fast effect, and fast delivery straight to your door. The strength range goes from 3 milligrams all the way up to 15 milligrams, so whether you're looking for something on the lighter side or you want maximum strength, they've got you covered. Flavors, mint, wintergreen, watermelon, which is new, plus lush, sweet, and original. Enough variety that picking a flavor feels like picking a mood. Available in single tins, mega packs, and bundles for those who like to commit. The pouches come pre-primed, so flavor and effect hit instantly. No waiting around. They're soft, flexible, sit comfortably, and the whole setup is discreet. Compact tins, zero smoke, zero vapor, perfect for meetings, commutes, or just getting through the day. You can get your instant delivery straight to your door or pick them up whenever you normally get your nicotine. Right now, my listeners can get 20% off their order at freepouch.com. That's F-R-E pouch.com with promo code LISTEN20. That's freepouch.com, F-R-E pouch.com, and use promo code LISTEN20 to get 20% off today. F-R-E, free. Strength you can count on.
This is the ZABEcast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Tuesday, December 23rd, 2025. Thank you for downloading. We got a banger today of a podcast. I'm going to hook up with my guy, Spence-O-Matic, Mark Spencer, who is Mr. Jacksonville Jaguars. It's going to be a lot of Jaguar talk. However, if you have an open mind and a curious mind, you're going to hear a lot of themes about motivation and snubs and city pride and persevering through bad situations kind of talk. We'll also talk some college football as well. There's many applicable themes and threads beyond just, I don't care about the Jaguars.
Have an open mind, people. Spence is great. We'll talk to him in just a second here. Before we get to that, though, let me get to some other NFL stuff. Last night, after I'd put the Sunday podcast to bed, the New England Patriots defeated the Baltimore Ravens, who lost Lamar Jackson in the middle of their game, and did it with a drive by Drake May that was phenomenal. Drake May is the real deal. Last year, there were flashes, but people were not crowning him just yet, in part because the Patriots had, you know, a rubber chicken for a coach in Gerard Mayo, head coach, that is. Mayo may be a good coordinator, assistant coach somewhere else, but as a head coach, he wasn't it. And they got out after 1 year. And yes, he happens to be black, but there's plenty of white coaches who have also been one and dones, like Nathaniel Hackett up in Denver. When you know the dude you hired ain't it, get out. Same thing for Urban Meyer, which we'll talk about with Spence in just a second. So they get Vrabel after there were several teams very interested in him. He had taken a year off to cool off after he left Tennessee. And I think he's out for a year. I'd have to check that. And so I'm just watching. I mean, Vrabel is so good at so many things, and he's got the quarterback now in Drake May to really exploit what they do. And Stephon Diggs has been reborn again, a guy that I didn't think was possible to get reborn with a positive fucking attitude about playing a team sport and not being a constant diva, crybaby, needy, finger-pointing bitch. He actually is now reborn. He's a hell of a player, hell of an athlete. It's all cooking for the Patriots. And it's amazing how quick it can turn. So you're looking at the quarterbacks, 1, 2, 3 from last year. And if we rewind to a year ago, it was Jaden Daniels 1 by a wide margin. And then maybe, I'm not sure who people thought was the second or third best in the group. Probably maybe Drake May by a hair, but had not realized a lot of his potential. And then Caleb Williams, who always had the physical tools, but had a very bad first year, all things considered. Well, now look at the situation. I still believe in Daniels, but he's hurt and he's been shut down. But Drake May is blowing up, and Caleb Williams, even though his numbers are not great. They're not good. Their passing game in Chicago is not great still, but he's got the tools. And I see in Caleb Williams a growing maturity and a growing understanding of this is what the job takes. So if this continues, I will be dead wrong on saying I think Caleb Williams ain't it, and they're going to end up going back to the board at quarterback. But Drake May is like phenomenal. And I just remember how some people had very negative thoughts on him coming out of the draft out of North Carolina. But it's all cooking for them up in New England. The Ravens, on the other hand, are going to have to rethink things. Just like a lot of teams are now in that mode of, since we're down to the final 2 weeks, this is what I call the rethink portion of the NFL season. You have to rethink what are we doing because, well, things did not work out nearly like we had hoped or planned. I would imagine teams that are at the bottom of the draft are rethinking a lot of things. Some teams need to find themselves a coach. Some teams need to figure out, well, okay, larger picture, what are we doing overall? The Cowboys, for example, had 1,000-yard receivers. I say the 2,000-yard receivers in Pickens and Lamb, 4,000-yard passer in Dak, and yet they're finishing, once again, nowhere near the playoffs. In the 60 years of the Super Bowl era, here is your Cowboys split. First 30 years, 14 NFC championship game appearances. Last 30 years, 0. It's rethink time in the NFL as we're now down to the final 2 weeks. I mentioned the Jets. Did you know that they have yet to have an interception this year? I'm sorry, what was that again? You mean the whole team has not had an interception? That's correct, sir. I feel like the Dave Ramsey meme. An incredulous Dave Ramsey, arms folded, furrowed brow, curious, going, what? The Jets are the first team in NFL history to not have an INT in 15 consecutive games, two more games to go for a full season of no INTs on defense. And the bitter irony is their coach is one of the, I don't want to say all-time great defensive backs in Aaron Glenn, but he was really, really good for a long time. Quinshon Judkins had a season ended with a broken leg on what looked like a fairly routine tackle, more like a broken ankle, dislocated ligaments, and a broken tibia. He was really good when he finally got in camp. Of course, he was late because of a domestic violence charge that was dropped by the legal system, but the NFL and their own shield court had to do further diligence on it, so that held him up for a couple of weeks before he finally joined the team. And his season is now over with just under 1,000 yards in 14 scrimmage games. It's a tough, brutal league. Rex Ryan is talking about, oh, you're going to fire Mike McDaniel down in Miami? Because the word is, Ian Rappaport, on Sunday said, it looks like McDaniel is staying, but Tua is leaving. Oh yeah, Quinn Ewers, he's terrible. This was proven beyond any doubt with the Dolphins getting dismantled by the Cincinnati Bengals. Of course they should get rid of McDaniel, and they should get rid of Tua. They need a full plunger reset in Miami. But Rex Ryan played the old card of, oh yeah? Who are you going to get then?
I think he's going to be horrendous in this game. We'll see, because most rookies are, right, when you put him in there. And what's it say about the future of your team? Like, the first thing Shefty's talking about is, all right, not only are you going to let your quarterback go, all right, you know, let Tua go down the road, but what else? Oh, we got to get rid of Tyreek Hill. What are we talking about, dude? Like, who the hell's left? Like to me, I mean, what coach, if you're going to fire Mike McDaniel, who are you going to get in there? I mean, so you can put a has-been like me in there, or you can put some guy that, I mean, some young guy that'll go anywhere. But this team's going to be horrendous next year. Here's what I think.
Yeah. The old who you going to get is the worst counter-argument to firing a coach that I've heard. Because there are coaches out there, and you'll hear my guy Spence absolutely wax poetic about Liam Cohen, who basically got one interview. That was with the Jaguars. That's it. And, you know, you got a coach in there and a scheme in there and a system in there and players in there that are not working. It would be insane to keep going if you were the Dolphins. The Steelers and Mike Tomlin have done what Mike Tomlin has done now for 19 straight years. Even though I was one of the guys that said, of course, they should consider firing him at the end of the season. By the way, I never said during the season, but I said, of course, they should consider moving on from him. It is to the consternation of many Steeler fans I know that it looks like Tomlin is going to survive for at least one more, if not several more years. And I understand the reasoning behind it. You got a coach who makes the playoffs pretty much every year. A coach who at least finishes 500 or better every year. But is he good enough to bring you even greater success? That's the argument against Tomlin. And it's hard to tell sometimes what it is preventing a good coach from being a truly great coach. I know Steeler fans that are fully vested in this will give you the how, why, when, and where of Mike Tomlin. But it's going to be hard to fire him. The bigger question is, Rodgers once again against the Lions was good. He ran the offense good. Is he peak Rodgers? Not even close. Nobody's arguing that. But he was good. So what do? Do you run it back one more year? It's going to be very tempting to do it. Rodgers, I think, the way they're finishing, is got that positive vibe of, sure, I'm going to keep doing it. He likes to brag about, when I retire, you won't even see me. I'll be gone. Right. You'll still be on you'll be on McAfee three times a week once you finally retire. But I believe he's going to be like Brady, and he's going to ride it all the way to the very, very end. But yeah, when you say, well, if you fire him, who are you going to get? Yeah, somebody else.
In fact, there's an interesting question I might put up on a poll on Twitter today, or X.com, asking Packer fans, you can only have one. You can keep LaFleur and lose defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley, who's done an amazing job and who has great podium command and press conference command when you listen to him. He's going to get hired, or at least he'll get offered a job. He may decline it this winter from some NFL team, but he's going to get offered a job to be a head coach. He's that good. Would you rather keep Hafley and let LaFleur go, or keep LaFleur and lose Hafley? That's a genuine hypothetical. And by genuine hypothetical, I mean I'm asking sincerely that question, even though I know it's a hypothetical that will not happen. There's not 1% chance that this would possibly happen. But it might, in the end, if you were to play it out, it might be the right call. That LaFleur is a perennially good coach, but not a great coach, who lacks just enough of a tactician's sharpness, of an asshole's edge, of a relentless drive to win and close games when they matter the most. Doesn't make him a bad coach. It might just be that he lacks that edge. Or maybe he doesn't. Maybe he finds that edge this January. You never know. They said the same thing about Tony Dungy back in the day, until it all came together one year. One thing we hate to admit as sports fans and media, so much of this shit is absolutely random, and you can't account for it. And that's also what makes it fun. Quick break, when we come back, my guy, Spence-O-Matic from Duval.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Looking for something new? Try fencing, the Olympic and Paralympic sport that mixes speed, strategy, and fun. It's like chess meets cardio. Quick feet, quick decisions, and a satisfying beep when you score a point. Kids, teens, and adults can start anytime. No experience needed, and many clubs have loaner gear. Coaches teach fundamentals and safety from day one. Find a beginner class near you at usafencing.org/tryfencing. That's usafencing.org/tryfencing.
We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.
Hey, you, what you gonna do? Hey, you, what you gonna do? 49ers, what you gonna do? Ravens, tell me what you gonna do? Jets, what you gonna do? Steelers, what you gonna do? Cowboys, what you gonna do? When the Jags come with you? Falcons,
It was just over a year ago that I had the best weekend ever visiting my boy, Mark Spencer, a.k.a. Jaguars Spence, down in the Jacksonville area. We stayed at his wonderful rental property down in Fernandino Beach, Florida. And it was me, and it was Wolfie, and it was Vinny, just three cheeseheads, going down to see the Packers play the Jaguars. And boy, was that season a lot different than this one. The Jaguars, with maybe the statement win of the year so far, going up to Denver and smacking Sean Payton and the Broncos around. Spence, my man, have you come down from cloud nine yet?
No.
No, I have not.
You know what happens with years and years of, can I even say mediocrity? I mean,
yeah, you've had mediocre and or uneven seasons. How about that?
Well, yeah, and we'll get to the playoffs and win a playoff game and then terrible for 3 or 4 years. It's not like we have these, you know, holds of, oh, we have a quarterback for 5, 6 years and he kind of gets us there. No, we have like 1 year all the time, you know, and you know, 2007, and then you had the run with, you know, Jalen Ramsey and all those guys, that 1 year with Bortles,
right?
And this finally feels like we got something.
Yeah, this song, Jacksonville Jaguars, it's the championship song. It was recorded what year again?
So 1999, and so if you recall, 1999, the Jaguars, I mean, loaded. I mean, Fred Taylor, Jimmy Smith, I hate to say Brunell, but he was actually good then.
He was good then.
Yeah, he was great. And the Jaguars beat every team they played except one all season and even through the playoffs. Lost the Titans in Tennessee. Lost to the Titans in Jacksonville, had the number one seed, went through the playoffs, won everything, hosted Tennessee here, and lost to Tennessee again. So this song was recorded before the AFC Championship game. And when you hear Jimmy Smith and Fred Taylor tell the stories now, they're like, after that heartbreaking loss, Jeff Fisher and all those guys over on the sidelines singing this song back to them. It hurt.
Yeah. It was like your Super Bowl shuffle, except the Bears, who recorded that song in the middle of a Super Bowl run, they actually went to the top and finished the job. You guys came agonizingly close. The flood of memories of your team back then is washing over me. And if I'm not mistaken, that was the year that you guys retired Marino in the most humiliating fashion possible, like 55-7, right?
Yeah, I think 52-7, maybe 55, something like that. And I think the first play from scrimmage, so we got the ticket. We were season ticket holders in the upper deck. We bought club seats for that game. You know, Marino, Dolphins, Jimmy Johnson, right?
Yeah.
And the first play from scrimmage, I think, was Fred Taylor, you know, 80-plus yards. I mean, and it was over
right
after that. So we were going to make the run. Like, this was the team. We were demolishing everybody in our path.
Right. So last year, after our wonderful weekend, and I'm still glowing thinking about how great it was, and Spence, thanks for hooking us up to play golf at the Atlantic Dunes?
Atlantic Beach Country Club.
Atlantic Beach Country Club.
Home of Miles Russell.
Yes, young phenom Miles Russell, who we met on the putting green and interrupted his practice briefly just because we wanted a photo with a kid who might someday win the Masters. This guy's really, really good. So we had a great weekend there, and I'm just remembering now. So the funny thing about Jacksonville is that you guys love your city and love your area of North Florida so much, and yet any disrespect, like the kind that Peyton delivered before the game, bringing up your market size, is always greeted with fierce defensiveness. Can you explain why that is?
I can't explain why the narrative started, but it's always a false narrative from people from out of town. And it's always, and this year there have been two unprovoked by opposing coaches the week before the game, unprovoked shots
right
at either the coach or the team or the city. But when you talk about the city, look, if you visited here in the 70s or 80s, it had a unique odor, we'll say, because we had a huge paper plant to the north. And if you came here during the winter, there was a north breeze, and it would smell sulfury. If you don't know what sulfur smells like, it smells like rotten eggs.
Yeah.
But, you know, the city started to grow. And then, you know, we got the Jags, and it's the largest city in the country area-wise.
By square miles. Yes, by square miles, largest footprint. But in terms of the population of the DMA, or defined market area, what number is it? Do you know?
1 million.
But, I mean, I'll look this up, right? DMA ranks.
I want to say 32, 33 last time I saw.
Yeah. 41. You're just ahead of Harrisburg, Lancaster in Pennsylvania. Right. Harrisburg, by the way, has an international airport. I was driving by it up to Philly area for my in-laws. And I said to my wife, I'm like, who the hell is flying international out of Harrisburg, PA?
Maybe it lands in some small town in Canada.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So anyway, the Jaguars are the defining thing of the city, other than TPC Sawgrass, okay? Yeah, but it's a wonderful place to live, low taxes, nice, you know, moderate weather, not as blazingly hot and awful as South Florida in the dead of summer, nice, mild winters, low taxes, lots of room to spread out, lots of room for activities, as they would say in Step Brothers, and it's a beautiful place. But don't you dare...
We have all the beaches that all the other Florida cities have. We don't have the tourism.
That's
so
right.
Our beaches, and for residents, we have all this beautiful beach and sand and things to do. We have the largest parks, like you said, room to play, and park system in the country. You know, it's a great place to live. And I don't want to turn this into some kind of
no, that's okay. It's important to lay all this out. And so you have this football team, the Jaguars, who have consistently been a hard team to sort of get your arms around as a casual NFL fan, to understand it, to get it. I never really thought the logo hit. I didn't believe there were actual Jaguars in the area of Jacksonville, but I've been told there are in some of the Everglades and other those swamps and whatnot.
Panthers.
Florida Panthers, which are similar to Jaguars. Look, I love that they're doing well, and I love that you're happy, because last year when the season was really falling apart due to injuries and a bunch of other stuff and Doug Peterson sucking as a coach, you were still big on Trevor Lawrence. You were like, Trevor's the guy, Trevor's the guy. Not everyone saw it per se, but you were steadfast in this. And so our group chat between me, you, Vinny, and Wolfie is labeled Save Trevor. And so it's so funny now that they're kicking ass and Trevor Lawrence had the game of the year maybe this past weekend in Denver. I'm like, Spence was on it all along.
Well, you look at just – so I played quarterback in high school. I've been through a lot of film sessions on Saturday mornings of watching myself in film like, hey, what was that? Right? You know, coaches telling me how terrible I am and me thinking I'm doing something, but not – I have this huge respect for the position of quarterback, and I see guys like Trevor, I'll just say even Aaron Rodgers, the way he throws the football. Like I just such awe of talent like that. And when I see Trevor he doesn't look as, I don't think people understand how large this man is.
Big boy.
This is a 6'6" man that is proportioned. You stand next to him, you're like, whoa, this guy is a giant, like big head and features and face and like he's
flowing locks.
Yes,
and that Easter Island looking face of his, majestic, magnificent, almost not real, and can take a blow like the cheap shot to his back in that game after the whistle was blown dead and the defender is like, I didn't hear anything. Wham! Amazing.
Yeah, and so I saw all the tools. Like, he can spin the ball. He can run. He can throw in the run both directions. Go, as he's shown this year, a couple amazing throws rolling to his left. And I saw those tools, and I'm like, you know, so the year he's drafted, he's got Urban Meyer.
Oh.
Urban Meyer drafts him. Urban doesn't make it to the first year, and so then his second coach is Daryl Bevel for the rest of that season. Okay, so then they bring in Doug Peterson. So now, when think about this. When he sits down with Doug for the first time, this is going to be his third head coach in 10 months.
That's a lot. You know,
and so that's going to do something to a dude, right?
Right.
And Doug did something good, but then Doug made the, you know, thing of, for some strange reason, and we still don't know why, in Jacksonville, he tried to elevate Press Taylor so much. And do all this and elevate Press to run the offense and call the plays, and it just destroyed everything. There was no cohesion, and it was clear that what they were trying to do and accomplish in Peterson's offense, Trevor wasn't getting.
Right.
So how much you want to – I'm not in the meeting room. So how much you want to put on Trevor's inability to comprehend, or maybe Doug's inability to coach or teach, which I think is a big factor.
Who was Press Taylor? The OC.
So Press Taylor is Zach Taylor's brother, who was our offensive coordinator.
Okay.
And for the 3 years. And so it was Doug's offense, but this, and you know, the rumors are that the reason Doug was fired in Philly is he wouldn't fire Press.
Well, yeah, that's what coaches do. They protect their buddies. It's just the way of the NFL. So just, I want to rewind for a second. So, you know, Urban Meyer drafts Trevor Lawrence. He drafts Trevor Lawrence, then proceeds to kick his kicker in warmups, stays behind after a loss in Ohio, gets caught sort of groping a young co-ed, a total douchebag Urban Meyer, gets fired. I mean, Lawrence has to like
mid-season,
he has to process this. Like, oh my God, I was the first pick in the draft. This coach is this super highly accomplished college guy who's supposed to be a god among men. He's a complete jackass. I'm seeing all of it and then some. All the stuff, Spence, we didn't see about what a jackass that Urban Meyer was. And now you've got to play along with the interim coach, like you said, and Daryl Bevel. Then you got Peterson, who you would think, okay, look, he's a former quarterback, won the Super Bowl. This should be the best guy for Trevor Lawrence. But he's not necessarily the best guy if he's trying to force a system that doesn't work for him, and if he is impatient as a former quarterback with Trevor Lawrence's struggles, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also Doug had moved to Florida. He'd won the Super Bowl. He's now moving to Florida, no state income tax. He's getting the head coach's salary. He likes to play golf. He's playing golf.
You think he was in cruise control mode to a certain degree?
Yes. Oh. Yes. He was here doing that. And here we are, you know, the two career paths of your coach and your quarterback need to be kind of going together. They were not.
That's a great point. I never thought about that. In a way, he was taking a job where he knew, I don't have to prove anything. I won a Super Bowl in Philadelphia. Boom.
Yeah.
And so, yet, Lawrence is a young guy who still wants to be great in the league. So you end up getting Liam Cohen. And I remember when you guys hired him, and you were over the moon. You're like, this guy's the dude. And then he comes out at his first press conference and botches the Duval thing. Duval! I'm like, bro, that is so not it. There was a few awkward exchanges early in the season when things were a little bit rough, and I would always text you like, oh, your boy Liam. But then as the season went on, it wasn't just you. It was every NFL pundit who were going, look at this shit here. This guy, Liam Cohen, can design some exotic, amazing, elegant shit. And he and Trevor are in sync. It's turning out great, isn't it?
If you want to know if it's Liam or Trevor or the both of them, I'll just say this to Liam's capabilities. He made Will Levis a top 10 pick
at Kentucky.
Will Levis's quarter. He was Will Levis's quarterback's coach at Kentucky.
That's a hell of a, that's a pretty good brag point right there. If you think about it,
he takes Will Levis, does that, goes to Tampa, gets Baker paid and has Baker's year. He leaves and you see what Baker's doing. And I'm, look, I'm a Baker guy, okay?
That's right. I forgot to mention Spencer Matic is also a Boomer Sooner, and I did text him during their game, and I said, "You taking it tough?" And he goes, "Nah, man, this is a gravy year for Oklahoma."
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that later. But so there's no question. But also with Liam, that's a salty dude. And if you look at what he did to the Jets 2 weeks ago, and he kept Trevor in, and we kept scoring. And then I was sitting in the stands.
You went to that game. It was a wet game, by the way.
Yeah, it was wet. It was great. The whole fan, we stayed to the end, and I was saying, hey, they should be standing at the exits, handing out shirts that say the real ones. Just yes. For those of us that stayed. Yeah, it was like, 48 degrees and raining, but whatever. So there's only one team last year that interviewed Liam Cohen, and that's the Jaguars.
That's really?
And
wow.
And when he played the Jets, if you don't think after seeing what he did to Robert Saleh this year and picking a fight with him on the field and telling Robert Saleh, keep your name out my bleeping mouth.
Right.
Okay. And then if you see what he did to Sean Payton yesterday as far as the post game.
Yeah.
If you don't think he was salty to the Jets for not interviewing him and wanting to just embarrass Aaron Glenn. Like, this dude.
That's
is
good.
So
That's
Duval.
Good to have that edge. And if you don't, have it, make it up. Really inflate a small slight into something big. Now, would you say, he's pretty young. How old is Liam Cohen?
40.
Okay. So, not super young. But it's hard to get a job in this league, obviously.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that Liam Cohen has been widely and consistently overlooked, but he obviously felt so confident in what he could do and was so frustrated that nobody else was seeing this stuff, like you were mentioning about his previous work with quarterbacks, the most important position on the field in the NFL, that he used that as his, his burr to motivate. And I love it. And now you're right. You got the coach and the quarterback and their ambitions and their trajectories in sync on train tracks. I've got the Sean Payton thing right here. I'm going to play this soundbite. This is Sean Payton, great, unprompted prior to the game last week. Well, hold on a second. I love how Facebook automatically mutes your audio, so you have to go find that button. Okay.
It's a smaller market, but you see a real good team.
A small market team like us can come into a place like Mile High and get it done.
So, context. When Sean Payton said that, it was the typical middle of the week press conference. Hey, Sean, talk about the Jaguars. And totally unprovoked.
Yeah.
Mentions the market size.
Which does not matter when it comes to what is this team you're playing.
Especially from a coach who coached in New Orleans.
Exactly.
Look at that market size while you're at it, right? So I you got that. And if you listen to Liam Cohen saying that, yesterday after the game, that wasn't a response to a question. He walked up to the podium, stood there, and before a reporter could answer or ask a question, he said that. And then he kind of stood there. And everyone, it's this most wonderful 2 seconds of silence of him going.
That is great. By the way, New Orleans, 50th. So they're 9 spots behind Jacksonville Jaguars, Jacksonville, Florida. That's amazing. I didn't know that they were that small as a media market. Yeah, Sean Payton. I said right before I hooked up with you because I was doing a hit on radio, I said, my hatred for Sean Payton burns with the intensity of Mars, and so therefore, or Venus, whatever planet's on fire. And so I cannot speak rationally about anything involving Sean Payton. He is the ultimate fuck that guy. He is a fuck that guy to the moon guy. And so I can't speak rationally. So it was quite satisfying, both because you're my friend and seeing the Jaguars win, and also watching Sean Payton have to suck on a lozenge out there on the sideline, just angry at everything on the sideline. That was great.
And I think also what really upset Liam about that, and the reason it really got to him, now he does use whatever kind of slight, but it is true. And that for some reason, the market, the team, the city gets picked on a lot. It's wild. And I think what started it this year was when Robert Saleh, before the 49ers game early in the season, Jaguars are having success. Once again, completely unprovoked, Saleh says, well, you know, Liam, they kind of steal signs on the other side. And so we've got to what? And he basically alluded in that press conference that week before the game that Liam is cheating. Basically, that's the gist of it, right? That the Jaguars' success is because Liam is skirting the rules and cheating a little, like totally unprovoked. No one had, it's crazy, right? So post game, Jaguars go into San Francisco, kick their butt. So they're walking by each other. Now, remember, Saleh's just a coordinator. Liam ain't got to shake his hand, right? So they're walking, and the video is there. Saleh's kind of shaking guys' hands, and Liam walks by. And you see Saleh, he kind of starts to want to shake his hand, and he pulls back. And as Liam goes by, he said something like, oh, okay, Liam, like that. And Liam turned around and goes, keep my name out of your,
bleeping mouth. Right.
Keep my name out of your effing mouth. And then Saleh's like, we'll kill you. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Right. And all the Jaguar players are like, oh, that's our boy. Like, that really started it. And then you saw the whole thing about Liam. Like, he felt slighted from the day the interviews started last year to that point. And then it has taken off since then. And he's been a great motivator.
That is a great point, though, about how, hey, I don't even have to shake your hand. You're a coordinator now. You fell off the boat of being a head coach. So you're a slappy. I don't need to shake your hand. I'm a head coach. I'm a made guy now. F you.
And guess what? Guess what one of the other coaches was that the Jaguars interviewed for the Jags job here?
Saleh?
Saleh. Saleh didn't get the job. So Saleh was trying to take a shot at the guy that did get the job.
Sure.
And this shoved it right up his ass. Oh, so it was so good.
We underestimate, I think, as fans in general, the egos involved in the coaches and how cutthroat the coaching racket is, and the grievances and the feuds, and because everybody knows everybody, Spence, and they know how the sausage is made in the NFL. They work in the sausage factory. So, yeah, there are long memories in that regard. I need to ask this question. Who in the fuck is Parker Washington? Because I love this guy. Sixth rounder out of Penn State, and he is an electric factory.
So drafted to be kind of that possession guy. And I remember going to practices in the training camp his rookie year. And they would have him in the slot working inside. And, I mean, this is not a big guy. They're not a tall kid. He's a big kid now. He's not a tall kid. He's
5'10", 204, they list him.
He ain't 5'10".
And if he is 5'10", he's got exceptionally short legs, but they move.
Yes. And he was getting pushed around, like getting lost in traffic. And these genetic lottery winners that are the NFL players.
Right.
And I'm like, wow. And I was really watching him like, this is crazy. Like, this kid's lost. And then he was just being used wrong in the offense, and Liam has found a spot for him. And he's always had great hands, but he's an amazing punt returner, two punt returns for touchdowns this year.
Yep.
And you saw what he can do. Like, he's not blazing fast. I remember, being a Jags fan and Wayne Krebet coming to town and tearing us up. I'm like, man, I'd love to have one of those guys.
You know what I call guys like that? I call them whip-whap guys. You need a whip-whap guy. The guy who runs these sick 7-yard choice routes, as they call them, that carve you to pieces and you cannot stop them because they're so quick. He looks like an ultimate whip-whap guy.
And Trevor trusts him to throw fades to. Like that fade into the end zone last night out of the slot. Oh, my God. And then 2 weeks ago, he threw an unbelievable fade in the sideline, a little back shoulder where Parker elevated crazy. I'm like, whoa, I didn't know he had those kind of bunnies. So, he's our number three. And also, Travis Hunter isn't even on the field because he's hurt.
That's crazy, yeah. Do you have a thought on the Travis Hunter experiment and whole thing? Because, you know, it didn't get going much, and he wasn't getting as many snaps as people would have liked on offense. Where do you think he fits in ultimately?
Elite athlete. I say, honestly, I think it's funny you mentioned Parker Washington. I think Parker's kind of the piece that puts other pieces into place. So you have your number one that's maybe now your number two, your rookie, BTJ, on his rookie deal. So this is, he's not a rookie, but he's still on his rookie deal.
Ryan
so
Thomas Jr., who started the year so badly, dropping passes that you and others were like, we need to trade him. We need to get rid of this guy.
Or figure you just got to bench him.
Right.
You know? And they did. That's what's amazing. They benched him, right? And so you've got him. We just signed Jakobi Meyers. You have Jakobi Meyers. You have BTJ with undeniable speed and talent.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like he's best used either on a cleared out dagger or basically outside the numbers, whether it's an out or a go, that's where he excels. And then Jakobi Meyers excels in the middle, right? Well, now you got Parker Washington. And then obviously Brenton Strange is another piece, but now you got Parker Washington. So if you got Parker Washington, I think what you do with Travis Hunter is, okay, elite DB. He's the Travis Hunter Island. You can do some crazy, amazing things on defense and just have him lock up dudes. Because I don't know if you saw much of the – he locked up Ja'Marr Chase. Locked him up in Cincinnati.
Really?
Okay. And then as a receiver, obviously he's crazy talented. But in this offense, even though Jakobi Meyers did it in 1 week of practice, but in this offense, there's a lot of things going on. This basically, from what I understand, not only does Trevor have to do the play call, it's, you know, two plays in every play with options. He does protection. The center really doesn't do much of the protection call. So Trevor's doing everything, and that's why you see us run to zero a lot on these play on the play clock. So I think Parker is the piece that we're keeping. Obviously, Trevor's amazing. We're keeping him. Is it more on defense? Well, it is because we have Parker still. Or is it more on offense because, well, we didn't – Parker was going to be too expensive in the free agency market, and we've got Travis already on his deal. So I think that's the piece that you know, we'll see. Me personally, I say have him as that – keep Parker Washington, has him as that fourth guy – on for certain plays and packages, and then let him just lock up dudes on defense. Because you saw yesterday how important defense is.
Amen. Last thing on the Jags, because I already know someone's going to email me going, too much on a team I don't care about. Fuck you. It's my podcast. I'm enjoying the conversation. Side note, so in the game, Jerrion Jones, your left side cornerback, hurdled a Denver player going out of bounds.
Yeah.
Hurdled him.
Payback.
Here's what's funny. It was Jerrion Jones who tried to tackle Saquon last year who hit the right trigger X button down triangle move to reverse hurdle Jerrion Jones. That's crazy unto itself. But even more interesting is that your son has struck up friendships with a number of the Jaguars and help them do, what is it, photo shoots, social media?
So he does a lot of their content, basically a lot of their content for YouTube and on social media, yeah.
Right, and so one of your boys is close with Jerrion Jones. You sent me the picture of him and Jerrion.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. It's really cool. And that's the thing is, you know, when I was running a golf academy, I would, because I started to give instruction to Rasheed Mathis and Josh Scobie and became friends with them, then they would send me other players like Coach Del Rio even.
Right.
I'd give him golf lessons as well. And I got to know the guys, and I started doing some game day work at the Jags, which was fun. And so you get to see and know these guys on the personal side, which, you know, there's dudes that won the genetic lottery and they're really good at this, and they've got a short period of window.
Short window to maximize it. Yeah, exactly.
And so it's funny to see my son kind of do the same thing a little bit, yeah.
How does your son handle the fact that these kids, his age, his contemporaries, are awash in money and oftentimes splurge that money on some very frivolous things?
It doesn't bother him. So my son makes decent money, even at 21.
That's good.
He owns a Tesla on his own, right?
So, that a boy. Well done.
Yeah.
Now, look, you can't begrudge it. Yeah, you can't begrudge it, obviously, but it must be just kind of weird. Hopefully it's a genuine friendship, and hopefully that Jerrion Jones is a good kid who's living his best NFL life right now. So don't get too cocky. Now the national media is on to you guys because I see it and hear it more on ESPN. So that always carries another level of both scrutiny and frustration when you start hearing shit from them that you know is dead wrong or biased or pat you on the head like cute little Jacksonville. By the way, you guys are having to leave your building next year, correct? Big renovations? Mm-hmm. 2 years.
No. So next year's limited capacity, it'll be about 25,000. And then 2007, we will be with either Orlando or rumors are – what I want to happen is in Daytona, which is really close, I want to be in the Tri-Oval at Daytona Speedway.
Shut up.
Just an hour drive.
Build a temporary stadium for 1 year inside the oval.
No, it's not a stadium. No. The grass is already there in the Tri-Oval.
Well, but you got to have...
Use the existing stands.
Oh. Wow. So just make a football field... to NFL spec inside the oval or tri-oval. Wow.
What's likely going to happen is the Camping World Stadium in Orlando, they will most likely have it there, which is a two-hour drive. Yeah. It's a little bit of a break. That'll be 2007. And then 2008, the new stadium, which is on the current footprint, will be ready to go.
All right. Well, it'd be a tough two-year reno, but you guys will power through it, and hopefully the team is awesome. During that span, it's been fascinating to watch. Let me pivot to college football. Spence loves college football, not just his beloved Sooners, but the whole enterprise. First on your Sooners, why did you take that collapse from a 17-0 shock start so well?
Do you realize the Oklahoma offense averages under 4 yards a carry?
It's bad.
This season.
They were booed off the field at their own stadium twice down the stretch this year.
Yeah, it's, you're texting me and I'm like, it's all gravy. You got to understand in 2001, right when NIL was hitting.
2021, not 2001. 2021.
I'm sorry.
Yep.
2021. When the transfer portal and NIL were all coming together, it happened right as Lincoln Riley leaves, takes Caleb Williams with him, and the roster is down to nothing. And it wasn't like we were Oklahoma back in the old days. We could say, hey, we're Oklahoma, come to school here.
Yeah.
Now it's, hey, we're Oklahoma, here's the money. Well, we don't have that kind of money.
Right.
And I was just in such fear because then everyone transferred. When Caleb left and Lincoln, everyone left, gone. And it happened in, late November, early December to where, recruiting and signing day and everyone's decommitting, like, the roster completely depleted. And I was sitting there like, we're going to become Nebraska.
I'm glad you brought up Nebraska. That's exactly what I was thinking the whole time.
Yeah.
That there's nothing stopping the old school traditional college football powers built over an era that no longer exists from becoming irrelevant. And Nebraska is the poster boy for that. Oh. And so I'm looking at you guys going, okay, I know Oklahoma, they're for real. They're a legit power in college football, but they're going to have to evolve. And what's weird is you say we don't have the money. Your in-state, inbred cousin, Oklahoma State, don't get me going. I'm going to have some Oklahoma State fans now emailing me, including my boy Fred Minnick, who went to Oklahoma State. They got the money with T. Boone Pickens, and yet they stink.
Yeah. Yeah, and so it was really – and you knew SEC was coming, and like it was this horrible storm and such fear that we were going to become completely irrelevant. And, the first year was rough, and we had Dylan Gabriel, and he came back. When Dylan Gabriel came back, that was the first time we had a returning starter since 2017 with Baker.
Yeah.
We kept having these one-year quarterbacks, right? And eventually it was going to end. Well, when it ended, it crashed. And we thought signing Jackson Arnold out of Denton Guyer was going to be we got a freshman, we're going to build around him. Well, he was terrible, clearly. And but last year's recruiting class was better. And so we got in Mateer, got in a good, you know, Ben Arbuckle, got in a good offensive coordinator. But, you know, Mateer, he's a nice college quarterback. That's what he is. Yeah. And the good thing about him not being great is he will be back next year. Well, maybe. Maybe he's going to go take a bag of cash somewhere. But luckily, I don't think he played good enough for someone to pay him a ton.
Right.
And he will have a returning quarterback with an offseason to kind of have some – he now has context to what he needs to do better,
right,
to, you know, at this level. And we got Torrey Blaylock running back. But, yeah, it's – I'll take it. This wasn't going to be the year, and it ended up being a great year. And so everything was great, even though obviously I would have loved to have won. That stunk to not win.
It's a very balanced perspective from you. I applaud you for that, although I am still kind of shocked because everyone was on board. Trust me, everyone but Alabama fans wanted to see Alabama get their asses kicked.
And yeah, there's your helmet we kicked right their, there. We kicked their butt two of the last three times, right?
Yeah.
So one thing I will tell you. So
who signed? What's the signature on that beautiful?
So the signature is anytime the Jaguars sign or draft a Sooner, I have them sign the helmet. So we have D.D. Westbrook, we have Anton Harrison,
okay,
and then this is Aaron Colvin, who just a cornerback from golly, I want to say 2007, 2008 around
so
there.
This is only for drafted players.
Yeah. For, okay. So Jags,
so,
yeah.
So like a Jaguar, a guy that makes the practice squad as a walk on, you're not going to have him sign your helmet and possibly ruin it if there's.
I might. Yeah.
Leaving for guys who have at least been drafted at some point.
Yeah.
All right. So on the overall college football landscape, you mentioned about Mateer being, he's a nice college quarterback. He's probably going to stay unless somebody gives him some money. You know, Carson Beck, who is not good, got $4 million to go to Miami and proved that even though they won the game, he's just not very good. You got Underwood, who was supposed to be the savior at Michigan. He already gone. He got $5 million. They say the average going rate for a portal quarterback is going to be north of $5 million. This, Spence, is not sustainable.
Yeah. I don't know the answer to this. I really don't know.
I don't
is
either.
Is it going to be like this?
They have to
Will
close.
Will there be some type of entity that.
They got to close up the portal somehow. They're going to have to jump ahead to making this a pro league with contracts and salary caps, maybe even an entry draft. The whole thing is going to split into a 60-team super league, I believe, of programs that are willing to spend the money to be on that top tier. And then FBS and FCS, what's left, they're going to pack them together like a hamburger and go, here's the rest of the college football. Be very sad.
Yeah, I don't know how much I like it. I just
– I don't either.
I will say this, and you know what? You know, you look at James Madison and Tulane and what they – you know, how they performed. But you need those teams. You need that level. If you're the Oklahomas – you need those teams to want to be better, to want to try, to have this glimmering hope of having a shot. Look, was Texas better than James Madison? Yeah. But my whole thing is this. I know it's a contrarian view, but Texas already proved it. They had their chance at that level, and they lost.
Right.
Like, why keep giving these teams chances? Now, then you could say, well, Alabama – lost a bunch and they beat a team. Well, okay, but why open it up? Continue to open it up. And I'm telling you right now, that quarterback from University of North Texas is now likely heading to Oklahoma State with his coach, Mr. Maker. Oh boy,
look out.
What I see in Trevor, I'm not kidding. You're gonna laugh at me. This kid, what's crazy is he didn't start a high school game.
Really?
And he's going to get a bag of money from T-Boone. And,
This is Drew Meestemaker?
Yes.
Drew, am I pronouncing that right? Meestemaker?
Meestemaker, yeah.
Meestemaker, yeah. Meestemaker.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, 6'4", 6'4", 211 out of Austin, Texas, could be the next big thing. I think the best tweet that summarizes college football now, this guy, Jack Mack, who was at Barstool, a very smart guy. I like his style. He says, college football is in a weird spot. More people watching than ever. Athletes are better than ever. The biggest showcase, though, the sport is broken. Two of the games this weekend featured a 17-point and a 20-point spread. Coaches are in the media begging for $20 million from random donors to keep up in the NIL arms race, and rosters change by the year like we've never seen. Countless regional rivalries have now died. Conferences make no sense.
Yeah.
Well said.
Yeah, I just still have the, I know it's the good old days and stuff, but you know, growing up, the big deal was making it to the Orange Bowl in the Big Eight, right? In the Southwest Conference, if you won the conference, you played in the Cotton Bowl. And I think to utilize the bowl system, so every year, like pick these conferences, okay, every year SEC plays the ACC in whatever bowl. And whoever wins the conference, that's the bowl you go to. And then that's the first round of the playoffs. And so you still have, and I'm saying this from a town that has a bowl game, you know, the Gator Bowl. And
right.
The bowl games are great for the cities. And I used to say the bowl games are great for these kids who've been busting their butts. Now they get a cool weekend with free dinners and stuff. Well, shoot, they're getting paid now. No. So that's out the window.
Once upon a time, I would read on my national show, I'd read the list of swag at each of the bowls. And it was funny as hell because there was you were allowed to give up to $500, they say, in loose value to every kid at the bowl games. And so you'd get an Xbox, some Oakley sunglasses, a backpack. It was like, that's a really good swag pack. And we would read them down bowl by bowl. And it's so quaint and laughable now when guys are getting $5 million to play 1 year and then bounce.
Well, they're driving a Lambo, like giving a kid with a Lambo some Bose
headphones. An Xbox, your Bose headphones.
Is that a big deal?
It's like, who cares?
What the hell?
All right. Spence, it is great to connect with you, my friend. Have a great Christmas with your family. And we are going to have to plan some golf, you and I, either here or there or somewhere in 2026.
I'll tell you what, if you're in a two-man event and you see in the entry list Spence and Zabe, watch out.
Let's go, baby. Uh-oh, me and Spencer. All right, buddy, we'll talk to you soon.
See ya.
See ya. 72, we got to hit him, dog. I'm trying to break through, got to get him, dog. I'm big search. We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets, or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Looking for something new? Try fencing, the Olympic and Paralympic sport that mixes speed, strategy, and fun. It's like chess meets cardio. Quick feet, quick decisions, and a satisfying beep when you score a point. Kids, teens, and adults can start anytime. No experience needed, and many clubs have loaner gear. Coaches teach fundamentals and safety from day one. Find a beginner class near you at usafencing.org/tryfencing. That's usafencing.org/tryfencing.